Good morning, everyone, and as always, we welcome everyone to our Sunday morning shiur. The topic of today's shiur is something which is very relevant to both of yesterday's parashas, Tzri Amitzora, and that is the topic of Lashon Hara, which the Chazal tell us is related, is one of the reasons. Primary reasons that saras would come on a person would be because of the sin of lashon hara, and we are actually there are several references in the Chazal to this, but there are two specific mitzvahs in the Torah. We have the mitzvah which a pasuk which is not actually mentioned in yesterday's parsha, which deals with the laws of saras, but there is a pasuk later on in the Torah which says he shomer b'neged saras. There is a pasuk that says that a person should be careful pertaining to things that have to do with saras, to avoid, a person should avoid at all costs getting into a situation of saras. This is a pasuk that we find in the Torah in Sefer Devarim. It says, Yishamar b'negat saras lushmar b'od v'lasos. And the Chazal say that what that means is shelo lishkoach milizar milashon hara, that a person should always remember to be careful about lashon hara, shelo tavo alecha hatzaras al yidei hasipur hazeh. That when the Torah says that a person should be careful with saras, that he should be careful to avoid saras, avoid what's loosely translated as leprosy. So that is a specific commandment that a person should do whatever he can to avoid lashon hara. This is a chazal that we find based on the pasuk in Devarim. Yeah. Once again. Yeah, well, that's one of them. There are many. If you look in the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, he lists off in the beginning. He lists off many psukim in the Torah that speak about it, and both mitzvah saseh and mitzvah lo saseh, that's one of them. In other words, the psukim in the Torah, not everything that's daraisa is explicitly stated in the psukim. In other words, sometimes you need the interpretation of the chazal to know what the pasuk means. So here the chazal is telling us that this is what the pasuk is saying. As such, it's an issa daraisa. This is listed off in the Sefer Chafetz Chaim at the beginning. Similarly, we find the pasuk when it comes to the story of Miriam. So the pasuk says, "Zachras asher asa Hashem alkecha Miriam," also in Sefer Devarim, that one should recall what it is that transpired with Miriam. And again, the Chazal tell us here, what does it mean that one should recall what happened to Miriam? It means that Miriam spoke lashon hara on Moshe Rabbeinu, and a person should always remember that. That despite Miriam's great status, despite her tremendous level of Kedusha and her leadership role in the Klal Yisrael, nevertheless, when she spoke lashon hara, she was punished for it, and therefore a person should take that to heart. And this is the way the Chazal interpret the pasuk Zocharas Asher Asa Hashem Miriam, that we should always remember that we should realize the severity of the inyan of lashon hara. Now, the topic of today's shiur specifically is lashon hara as it pertains to newspapers. Okay, now one of the very common situations that one of the common shadows that comes up amongst people have this question is, you know, if there's lashon hara printed in a newspaper, can I read it? And so on and so forth. And unfortunately, bismanenu, in our times, there are many challenges in life, many misyonos that people have in all kinds of areas, and as such, from time to time, we hear stories of disasters, scandals that happen that are oftentimes extensively written up in the paper or in the other media, and you hear about it and it doesn't go away, it's day after day, and so on and so forth. So the question is there any problem with reading it? Obviously, this type of thing generates not just the reading or the believing, but it also generates discussion. people have now what to talk about. Someone mentions to me, I don't want to say over the exact details, but there was a certain scandal that took place in the Jewish community in New York some years ago, and a person, it happened around Pesach time, and a person said to me that in his neighborhood they had what to talk about at every Shabbos meal from Pesach till Shavuos. So the question is that correct? So is that the right thing to do? That happened to be that particular incident was extensively written up in the newspapers in New York and perhaps other places as well. And so this is a question that we have. Is there anything wrong with this? Now, if you would ask someone, you know, well, what is your opinion on this? Is there any room for leniency? So what you would commonly hear would be that something along the line, the person was a God-fearing person, you say, well, how are you discussing this? How are you getting involved with this? So what you would generally hear would be something along the lines that, well, it's in the newspapers, everybody knows. Everybody knows. You do a lot of call, everybody knows the story. If everybody knows the story, so then there is some, the impression is that there is no prohibition of Lashon Hara. In other words, Lashon Hara, many people's minds is only when there's some sort of revelation taking place, right? Where you're saying something over to somebody else that perhaps they didn't know, or perhaps they wouldn't know, even if they don't know it yet, but they, not only don't they know it yet, but they would really have no way of knowing it. But if something is public information, if something is well known, so then either the person knows already, or even if they don't, but before long, they undoubtedly will know, and therefore this becomes a subject of public discussion. So what I would like to try to investigate today is, in fact, is this true? Is this true, and you know, how would it apply? So the first thing I would like to point out is, if you go to source number 2, we'll get back to the first source in a moment, but if you go to source number 2, the Rambam here in the Hilchos Deos, at the very beginning of the Mishnah Torah, so the Rambam discusses the laws of Lashon Hara. It's all found in one parak, in one chapter of the Rambam, and basically the Rambam discusses that there are two general prohibitions of in the area of Lashon Hara. One of them is called Rechilus, okay, which is where you go to somebody and you say, you know, this fellow has said something nasty about you, or this fellow did something that's going to harm you, or whatever it is, where you're going to like a rochel is a merchant, a peddler who's going from person to person. So when you're going to Shimon and you say to him, you know, Reuven has done something, you may not realize it, but he has said something about you that can cause you harm, or he's done something that you may want to know that you'll be upset about. That is a rochel, that is the prohibition of rechilus. The sin of Lashon Hara, the prohibition of Lashon Hara, the Rambam says here on the fourth line of source number 2, the Rambam says, Yesh avon gadol mizad ma'od, v'hu b'chlal av zeh v'hu Lashon Hara. Okay, I'm going to use the vernacular, the common way of saying the expression is Lashon Hara. The people who are into diktuk will know that it's Lashon Hara, and therefore, you know, I'm saying as a disclaimer that I'm going to say it in the vernacular and not in the correct way of saying it. The correct way is Lashon Hara, and that's the right way to say it. But everyone calls it Lashon Hara, so I will join the group. Okay, so therefore we have here, the Rambam says there is something even worse than Rechilus, and that is called Lashon Hara. How is that? So he says, Lashon Hara is where you speak negatively about somebody else, even though what you're saying is true. Even though what you're saying is true. The Chafetz Chaim in his Sefer points out that many times people think that it's only Lashon Hara if it's a false rumor. That is not the case. That is actually called Motzi Shemra, which he discusses further. Lashon Hara is where you're saying something which is true. But you're saying something which is negative about another person, so we're not allowed to say that. Okay, even though it may be true. And the Rambam, ultimately, if one looks well into the Rambam, it's not for now, but if one looks well into the Rambam, you'll see that the Rambam feels that both of these are included in the pasuk of Voselech Rachel Ba'amecha. There is a specific pasuk which says that, coming up in next week's parasha, which says that one should not peddle information from one person to the next. And the Rambam basically holds that both of these prohibitions come from that pasuk, that you should not go ahead and tell someone else that so-and-so said something about you, or so-and-so is doing something which you would be angry about. That is rechilus, to go that, and even worse than that is to go ahead and just start talk negatively, to speak bad about somebody else, even though it may be true. That is lashon hara. Okay, now, getting back to our discussion, is it permissible if it is common knowledge? So the basis to say that it would be mutter would be based on a gemara which is found in several places in the Shas, but primarily in Maseches Erechin on Daf Tezayin Amud Beis. The gemara says, starting from that, this is, we'll go back now to source number one. The Gemara begins at the bottom of the previous page. Amar Rabba Bar Avuna, the top line. Amar Rabba Bar Avuna, Kol Milsa de Misamra Ba'apei Tzvasa, any piece of information that was said over in the presence of three people, Les Ba Mishum Lishna Bisha. The Gemara says there is no problem of Lashon Hara. It's for you to repeat it. If Lashon, or so it would seem, If something was said in the presence of three people, and you're aware that this piece of information has already been said over in the presence of three people, there is no issue of Lashon Hara. Why not? Says the Gemara, my time, what's the reason? Because Chavra, Chavra, Islay, because your friend has another friend, the Chavra, Chavra, Islay, and your friend's friend also has a friend. Meaning that apparently what the Gemara is saying is that if it's said over in front of three people, so then presumably it's not going to say, it's already been publicized to a certain degree. Why? Because everybody has a friend, and everybody's friend has a friend. Meaning that even with the best of intentions, when you hear a piece of news, somehow it very rarely is it said in one place. Very often it gets repeated. And if it's been said to three people, so the geometric progression that comes from saying something to three people, and each one repeats it to his friend and to his friend and to his friend, so before long it becomes public knowledge. And therefore, says the Gemara, there is no issue of Lashon Hara. This is what the Gemara tells us here. Now, there is a big, if we took the Gemara at face value, it would seem that this is clear cut. Okay, if something was said over in front of three people, there's no problem with Lashon Hara. Yes.
Lashon Misha covers the fields of the same Lashon Hara.
Yeah, yeah. All of them. Yes. It would cover all of them. Now, however, it is highly disputed what exactly the Gemara is saying over here. And there are numerous opinions in the Rishonim who interpreted the Gemara. There are numerous opinions. So just for example, if one looks at Rashi here on the right side of the page, says that what does it mean that it was said in front of three people? It means Shehabailim Amrua Bifnei Gimel. That the subject, not what, like we would think, that some guy said Lashon Hara in front of three people, which he should not have done, but once it got to three people, the word is going to spread, and as such, it's going to be before long public information, and as such, there's no problem speaking about it. Okay? Rashi says that's not what the Gemara means. What the Gemara means is that the subject, the person concerning whom the Lashon Hara concerns, said it over in front of three people. Abayim Amruah B'Fnei Gimel. So if the subject himself said it over in front of three people, so then Hamadalo saw, then if somebody then goes ahead and reveals it to some other person, Eino Lashon Hara, that would not be a problem of Lashon Hara. Why? Shezek Gila Tchila Daito. Because the subject himself said over the story. So if he said over the story, so that means he shows, apparently, he said it in public. He said it to three people. Three people in halacha is considered public. Right? Less than three people is considered private. So if he said it over just to one person, so then it could be that he was talking to a friend in confidence, and the fact he may have overheard the conversation, but the fact that he said it to one or two people does not mean that he wants to publicize. But if he said it in front of three is already considered a crowd in halacha, and therefore the presumption is that he doesn't care if he gets said over, and as such, you can go ahead and repeat it. Now, according to Rashi's chat, one could see that therefore the Gemara is not saying that public, that Lashon Hara, that's public, can be repeated, stam, right? Because according to Rashi's interpretation, the Gemara is referring only to a scenario where the subject of the Lashon Hara said it, where he himself said it over. So if he said it to one or two people, you have to assume that he's still trying to maintain a certain privacy. If he said it to three people, that means he has publicized it, he doesn't care, and if that's the case, then you can go ahead and repeat it. But to say that information that is known, that is out there, or that has the potential to become public knowledge, there is no, and to just make a blanket statement that there is no prohibition of Lashon Hara, according to Rashi, Pshat and the Gemara, you do not see that. Yes?
Is that three people at the same time, or three?
I think it would be even different times. In other words, as long as it got three people, is considered already that he's publicizing it.
And does it lose its status as Lashon Hara? Is it no longer called Lashon Hara?
So that's what's saying. So in other words, according to Rashi, it only loses the status of Lashon Hara if the subject said it. If the guy about whom it is concerned said it himself. So if he said it to three people, that means he doesn't care. He doesn't care. Less than three people is a private matter. He can't say it. That is Rashi's pshat. Now, if we go to the left-hand side of the page, Tosfos has a different interpretation of the Gemara, which also does not fit with what we're looking for. Tosfos says that what the Gemara here means is something very specific. When the Gemara says that something is said in front of three people, it loses the status of Lashon Hara, says Tosfos, you know, this is a reference to Pirish on the third line, Kigon ki haigafna denura be planya, that this is referring specifically to a piece of information that could have two meanings, could be interpreted two different ways. In other words, the Gemara gives earlier on the page here, the Gemara gives an example of a statement that could be interpreted two different ways. If somebody in the old days, where people didn't necessarily have ovens in their own home, you know, as commonly as today, and you would say to somebody, I need a fire, where can I find a fire? So someone comes and says, oh, you can find a fire in this fellow's house, because there's always a fire going on in that house. There's always cooking going on in that person's house. Now that statement could be interpreted positively and negatively. It could be interpreted positively in the sense that he's always, he's providing to the needs of others. He's always trying to help, and therefore he's a central point of chesed, and he's always cooking even beyond the normal food that a regular person would need, a regular family would need, but he's trying to help out other people. That's the positive way to spin it. The negative way to spin it is that this person is a glutton, this person is only interested in indulgence, and therefore he's constantly cooking in his house, he's always feasting. And therefore, if you want to know where to find a fire, go to this guy's house, because in this house there's always a fire going on. Right? In other words, commonly you would say, you know, where can I find a party? Right? So if it could be that the person making the party often makes parties in his house because he has a large house and he offers it to members of the community, and therefore he allows people to make simchas in his house. So that would be a positive way of interpreting it. The negative way would be that this guy always parties, which is a negative connotation. So what does this have to do with anything? So says Tosfos that this type of statement is called avak lashon hara. This is the type of thing that could be interpreted as lashon hara. Maybe yes, maybe no. So if it's said in the presence of three people, so then with the person who's relaying this information is allowed to say it in the presence of three people. Why? Because when you say something in the presence of three people, you can assume that it's going to spread. If it's going to spread, it's going to get back to the person about whom you said it. So therefore, nobody would want the person about whom he said it to hear that he was saying negative information. So if he says it in the presence of three people, we can assume that he's going to say it in the appropriate way, that when he makes this statement, that his intentions are going to be the good intentions and not the bad intentions. If he says it to less than three people, so then he may have sinister intentions, and therefore he shouldn't say such a thing. However, if he says in the presence of three people, so then he would have to realize that it's going to get back, and if it's going to get back, I don't want it to get back if it's negative, and therefore you'd be allowed to say over this statement in the presence of three people, because there would be a, like an intimidation factor, that if there are three people there, I better say it in the positive way, because otherwise I'm going to be in trouble. Yes.
How personal does the information have to be? Because to say political campaign and negative political.
Lashon Hara. So Lashon Hara really is anything that reflects negatively on a person. If anything that causes damage to a person, whether it causes some monetary damage, if it causes some political damage, if it causes some embarrassment, any of those things are considered Lashon Hara. So, running a negative political campaign, again, we're dealing here with, God-fearing Jews, that's where the main Israel Lashon Hara comes about, we'll see later. So that's where you have to be careful. But according to, yeah, guys.
Is it Lashon Hara for Goy? I mean, I don't know if that's what
you're saying. No, so we're talking here about the Torah says that the Torah uses the word Amistecha, that it has to be a person who is considered these prohibitions of a person who is considered your peer, a person who is considered on the same basic way of life as you, meaning a God-fearing Jew, right? A person who is an observant person. Beyond that, it's a different discussion. But that's what we're talking about over here. But today, you have this Shiloh of plenty. Yeah, we always had it plenty, but today in the Jewish community, with all the Jewish newspapers, local, national, you have this question all the time, that it said, unfortunately, vile Lashon Hara is said about people, about rabbis, about all kinds of, people who are held to be community leaders, and this is what I'm trying to address. Now, yeah, got it.
The statement isn't a statement that can be interpreted in two different ways.
Yeah.
And how do we know that the people we tell it to will interpret it correctly?
Okay, so we assume that the people who heard it, we assume that he's going to say it in a way that it will be understood that he meant it in a good way. In other words, and therefore, if the person who hears it is hearing a positive statement. That is Tosus's interpretation. Now, the reason I'm mentioning this is because here we have a second pshat in the Gemara which does not fit with what we're looking for. In other words, we are looking for some sort of heter that if something is common knowledge, there's no Lashon Hara. So when we read the Gemara, it seems promising. If you read the Gemara itself, it seems, here you have it. If it's said in public, there's no problem. However, Rashi and Tosfos both do not learn the Gemara that way. But the hope or the source that maybe we could use if we are interested in getting involved with this type of Lashon Hara would be the Rambam. The Rambam says, if you look at the bottom of the page, which is 2b, the bottom of the first page, the Rambam says, if we go down to the second line of the Rambam, he says as follows. He says, "V'imnemru dvarim eilu b'fnei shlosha," that if some sort of derogatory statement was said in the presence of three people, shekfar nishma v'noda adover, so at that point the information is going to get out. It's the way the Rambam says it, it's known already. I don't know if he means it's guaranteed to be known already, but before long it's guaranteed to be heard, because like we said in the Gemara, people repeat it to their friends. So then he says, if one of these people goes ahead and repeats it again, ein bo mishum lashon hara. If something is, the Rambam seems to be what we're looking for. The Rambam says, the Rambam warns the Gemara the way it struck us when we first read it. I guess in a certain sense the simplest reading of the Gemara, that if it was said in the presence of three people, since the word is going to get out, if it's then repeated further, there is no problem. There is no problem. The Rambam makes it sound that it's only true if one of those three repeats it, but in a newsletter, there's a technical reason for that which would not apply by a newspaper. So without getting into it, the bottom line is that it would seem, according to the Rambam, that if something was in the newspaper, there would be no issue of Lashon Hara because of the fact that it's known. It's known. Everybody knows. So, and if they don't know yet, before long they will know, and therefore there is no prohibition of Lashon Hara. Now, why should that be? You'll say that at the end of the day, sof kol sof, you're saying negative about somebody else, which the Torah prohibits. It's a big deal that he'll find out about it. Let's say he doesn't know yet. So you're the one that brought the news to him. So this Rambam calls for explanation. There are different interpretations of why Rambam feels this way, but for us, it's certainly the simplest reading of the Gemara, and it serves our purposes, because it would come out, according to this, that public knowledge would be beyond Lashon Hara. However, the Rambam then qualifies this statement with a major qualification. And that is at the end of this paragraph, the Rambam says, on the bottom line, v'hu, that this is all true, shelo yisraven lahavir hakol ulgaloso Yosef. Says the Rambam, this is only true if what you're trying to do is not to spread the news further. In other words, a person who is trying to spread the news, to spread this negative information about somebody, and says, well, it was written in the paper, so that everybody knows, the Rambam, so at the beginning of the Rambam sounds like, well, if it was said in the presence of three people, it's mutter. However, the Rambam is quick to qualify this statement and say that this is only true if you had some other intention, meaning the way the Chafetz Chaim explains it in the Sefer Yisurei Lashon Hara. The Chafetz Chaim says what it means is that if in the course of a conversation you happen to mention it, but you were not attempting to slander the person, you were not attempting to say to cast negativity on the person, but you were just saying, oh, you know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about the fellow who blah, 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 blah. Right? So that type of thing, when you said it, when you're just using that piece of information as a reference, in other words, this fellow who, you know, the guy who was written up in the paper last week about something illegal that he did, that's the guy who has yard site tomorrow, so make sure that this is available to him, right? So in that situation, when you said it, you were not saying the Lashon Hara to slander him. You were not saying the Lashon Hara to spread the news. It just sort of just came out in the course of the conversation. However, if a person's intention is to go ahead and further smear the name of the person, the name of this subject, even though it is common knowledge, the Rambam says that it would be awesome. And apparently the reason for this is because, so you'll say, well, you know, where does he get that from? If the Gemara here says that anything that's said in public is no Lashon Hara. That's all the Gemara said. So where does he come to add this in? In other words, it would seem from the Gemara here that there is no problem with Lashon Hara. So the Mefarshim point, if you turn over the page here, there is a Gemara in Sefer Sanhedrin on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, a small piece of Gemara. It's the entire paragraph here. If you just look at the last four lines, at the beginning of the line, the Gemara says, "Ahu Talmida Dinafik Aleh Kola." There was a student in one of the great yeshivas in Babel that the word got out. The Goli Milsa the Itmar Bei Midrasha, that he apparently revealed a piece of Lashon Hara. The Rashi, which is not found here on the sheet, but Rashi on the Gemara, says that apparently something had happened in the yeshiva, and that was derogatory. And this fellow went ahead, he was a student in the yeshiva, and he repeated it, Vasar Esrin Vitarti Shnin, 22 years later. 22 years after the incident took place in yeshiva, it happened in yeshiva, was something that was derogatory to a certain person, whoever it was, the Gemara doesn't say, and everybody kept it quiet. 22 years later, this fellow went ahead, and he was still a student in the yeshiva, and he repeated the story to somebody else. Says the Gemara, Afke Rav Ami Mibemid Rasha. And Rav Ami, who was the Rosh Hashiva, had him removed, had him dismissed from the yeshiva. He said, that's it. We cannot have you in the yeshiva. Omar, he said, Dame Gale Razia. This fellow is a person who reveals information that should not be revealed. So despite, what the Gemara is trying to say over here is, that despite the fact that he had been, that the story took place so many years earlier, and apparently this fellow was a long-standing student in yeshiva, if he knew the story, so nevertheless, Rav Ami dismissed him because he said that we can't have such a person, it's wrong what he did. So the Chafetz Chaim comes and says, he says, so wait a second. He says, if an incident took place in yeshiva, yeshiva is a public institution. If an incident took place in yeshiva, most likely it happened in public. And if it happened in public, and the rule is that anything that's public knowledge, there's no problem with Lashon Hara, which seems to be the simple interpretation of the Gemara that we read on the previous page, so then why would this fellow be dismissed from the yeshiva? What did he do wrong? It's mutter what he did. It's mutter, because it was a public episode, and as such, it should be mutter to reveal it. So says the Chafetz Chaim that from this Gemara you see apparently the following thing. You see that even the Heter, even according to the Rambam, who learns the Gemara, that public knowledge, there is no Isra of Lashon Hara, but there has to be a qualification to that. It has to be limited. And apparently, says the Chafetz Chaim, the Rambam held that this Gemara in Sanhedrin is the limitation, because in this Gemara, the reason why the guy was dismissed was because he said it over with an intention to slander. He said it over with an intention to cause harm in some manner to the person who was the subject of the information. And that's why Rav Ami kicked him out of the yeshiva. So when the Gemara previously said that something that's said publicly is no problem in Lashon Hara, says the Rambam, you can't take that, even according to the Rambam's pshat, which is that public knowledge is free from Lashon Hara, you can't take that totally literally, because if that's the case, this Gemara contradicts it. So how do we have both Gemaras to coexist? Must be that when is it permitted, that's if it just came out. If he weren't saying it with the intention to cause harm, if it just came out, what's called bakroi, if it just came out in the course of conversation. However, if it was said with malicious intent, if it was said to further the harm coming to this person because of what the person did, so then even the Rambam will tell you that it is not permitted, and this is exactly what the Rambam means when he says that one has to be careful, shelo yigala hakol yoser, that you should not, your intention should not be that you're trying to spread the news further. Okay, so now, as such, it would come out that in a situation of a newspaper, the heter would only be in a case where it's just being mentioned in passing. But if the information that's being given over is meant to be negative towards the subject of that information, then it would be prohibited despite the fact that it is common knowledge. And this, in fact, is the halacha that's passing in the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. He brings it here on the top of his source number 3, where he basically says over the Rambam, I'm not going to read it to save time, but basically he says that if you look at the second to last lines, the Bedavar Azil is Galos Lo Osra HaTorah Mishum Lashon Hara, that something, information that is anyway going to be found out is not called Lashon Hara, says the Chafetz Chaim, Gafka L'Saper B'Derech HaKroi, but even this would only be permitted if it is in passing, not with intention to slander. It should be pointed out that if one looks well into the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, which is really the authoritative work on the laws of Lashon Hara, the problem with studying the laws of Lashon Hara is that the pertinent Gemaras are spread all over the Shas. It's not really collected in one place. The largest collection of discussion of the laws of Lashon Hara is found in the Gemara in Erechin, which we cited earlier. That if one looks there on the Tezayin in Erechin, you will see the whole page discusses Lashon Hara. However, there is a little piece of Gemara in Sofim, and there's a little piece of Gemara in Bava Basra, and there's a little piece of Gemara in Sanhedrin, and therefore to put it all together is very difficult. So the Chafetz Chaim went ahead, and there are various opinions in the Rishonim because of the fact that it's very unclear. It's very, very unclear when one reads the Shas the exact details of Lashon Hara. So the Chafetz Chaim did a great service for the Kol Yisrael and basically worked it through and published a book for which he got his lifelong title. The book was called Chafetz Chaim, based on the pasuk that we said yesterday in the davening, that the person who desires life, who desires life, should that type of person should guard his tongue from saying things which are inappropriate. So he basically became the authority on these laws. And therefore, the Chafetz Chaim says that the Chafetz Chaim makes two points. He says, first of all, you should know that what the Rambam said is only the Rambam's opinion. Other Rishonim did not agree with the Rambam's pshat. And according to them, the whole discussion of Ape Tuasa, the whole discussion that something that's public or publicized, that being the basis for Heter, doesn't apply according to many Rishonim. But even the Rambam, who takes the Gemara at face value and says, yeah, the Gemara here is saying that it's public information, there's no Lashon Hara, that is only if your intent is not malicious. But if your intent is malicious, you're in trouble. We're in trouble. And therefore, when it comes to a newspaper, the person, if a God-fearing Jew wants to be a publisher of a newspaper, he really has his work cut out for him. It's one of the most difficult jobs to take, because of the fact that newspapers, especially today, with the competition amongst them, the so many papers, so much media, so everybody is looking to break the story. That is the goal, right? You hear today that the slightest this news outlet claims the glory because we knew that Romney was going to win that primary. We announced it 5 minutes before anybody else did. Right? In other words, NBC got the scoop, but the ABC, CBS, Fox, CNN, they didn't announce it until 10:35, but we had it at 10:20. So therefore, we are the best news outlet, right? You hear this all the time, that they're constantly masik toh, they're constantly looking to take glory in the fact that they broke the story. So breaking the story and sensationalism has become very much a part of the modern day press, and as such, a person really has to think twice before undertaking such a position. If a person is going to be the editor of a newspaper, and it's going to, and you can be writing, it's going to be Lashon Hara. Now, unfortunately, maybe once upon a time one could assume that with a God-fearing Jew you wouldn't have this Shaila, but unfortunately in our times that's not the case either. And therefore you have scandals and different things that come out and they get written up in the paper, and even in Jewish papers. Forget about the national press or the Miami Herald or Sun Sentinel or whatever else, right? There are so many Jewish papers that they have to fill the paper every week. And if they just put in, recipes for vodka or who knows what, so that's not going to cut it, right? That's not, Divrei Torah, even from the finest rabbis, that's not going to sell the paper. To sell the paper, you have to have some good stories, some good juicy information. But what we're seeing over here is that Lashon Hara is not really, putting it in a newspaper is a very, very challenging thing to do with Kalacha. But what pertains to us, I don't think we have any newspaper publishers sitting here, but what pertains to us is the question of what about reading it, and what about believing it, and what about going ahead and then making it the topic of discussion. Oh, did you hear the latest scandal? You come back after Pesach, people haven't seen each other in a while, so what scandals happened the last couple of weeks? Oh, so this happened and that happened, did you hear this? Right, so this is Lashon Hara. And you'll say, well, but everyone knows. That doesn't make it better. Because if you're saying it with the intention to be malicious, you're saying it the intention to cause harm, to degrade the subject of the Lashon Hara, that is not permitted. Yes. Good.
So how do you define that hearing too in that case?
Okay, so we'll see. Maybe, hopefully we'll see in a moment. So now, does this mean it would come out then that it's never permitted to put anything in the newspaper? Yet we know that on the other side of the coin is that newspapers do serve a purpose, right? They do serve a positive purpose, and that is not just that it gives people something to read, but the fact is that very often there's pertinent information that you need to know, and you can only find it out from reading the paper. Whether it's current events, or whether it's weather, upcoming storm, or who knows what, right? That's the a very positive effect that newspapers have. And so too, sometimes you could have a situation where somebody is going in the community and doing terrible things, and people don't know about it, and they need to know. Right? And we've had scandals in that area also. Financially, and you have this all kinds of financial scandals that take place. You have the situation that was very well known several years ago, where there was a butcher in upstate New York who was going ahead and selling meat that claimed to be kosher and really wasn't. And in a situation like that, if it's still going on, so people could not realize and walk into that store and buy it, and they're going to be eating non-kosher food, so the newspaper serves a vital role. The information will get out. It's hard to spread information. It's not easy to spread information. So a newspaper is a vehicle for that accomplishes that, right? Financial scandals you have all the time where a person could be an investor or whatever, he's taking people's money and who knows what he's doing with it, and if you don't warn people, they're just going to continue doing it. So the question is, so how do we handle such a situation? So the Chafetz Chaim says, if you turn to source number 5, so Chafetz Chaim addresses this, and he says that, in the second line, that everything we said, all the prohibitions of Lashon Hara apply by a person who is a God-fearing person, even if he did something wrong, most likely corrected. In other words, certainly one cannot say Lashon Hara about past misdeeds of a God-fearing person because there is a presumption that the person did tshuva. And if the person did tshuva, so then you certainly have no right to speak about it. Because it's not relevant anymore. He's not that, he changed. So big deal, he did it when you can't hold that against him. Unless it's the type of thing that maybe you have to worry it can recur. But without going into specific details, but if it's the type of thing where, okay, a person slipped up, it happens. People are not malachim, and a person could slip up. And today, with all the factors that are at play in the world, a person could sometimes slip up in a big way. But if he did tshuva, so then that's it. So forget it. It was corrected. So why is it relevant anymore? It's nobody's business. Why should that be discussed? The person fixed his ways. So a God-fearing person is presumed to be in that category. Right, that a person know that the people ain't other tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaaseh tovah lo yechta. Right, we have the famous statement that there is no righteous person who never sins. Everybody in the world somewhere along the line slips up on something, and therefore, so you can, if you want it, you can say bad about everybody. But the answer is that, there's a concept of tshuva, and if a person fixed his ways, so then it's absolutely irrelevant. It is absolutely irrelevant what happened in the past, and this is very, very pertinent in today's world where we have so many people who are closer to tshuva, people who maybe at the beginning of their life were not observant of the Torah and mitzvahs, and now they are. That is absolutely prohibited to speak negatively about a person, what they did in their previous life, so to speak, and it is even prohibited to refer to a person as a Baal tshuva. Because if that is going to be taken negatively and say, oh, that means that the person wasn't strong at the beginning of his life, that's a negative statement. You're not allowed to say that. Why is that relevant? It doesn't matter. What does it matter? Right now he's God fearing Jew. That's what we live in the present. Nothing else matters. So what happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 months ago, doesn't make any difference. Now the person is a God fearing person. So there's absolutely no question that a person can't say anything negative in those situations. However, the Chafetz Chaim says, However, if there is the type of person where you see that this person is not God-fearing, that this, and it unfortunately doesn't matter necessarily the way the person appears in public, right? But if you say that this person is not a God-fearing person, and therefore they go, this person is going to go ahead and do the wrong thing, and repeatedly do the wrong thing, and doesn't care, they're not going to do tshuva because they don't care. You tell them it's wrong, they don't listen, it doesn't matter to them, so that type of person is deemed to be a non-God-fearing person, or at least in this area, is not a God-fearing person. So in such a case, the Chafetz Chaim says that in fact, that should be publicized. He says, in such a situation, it is absolutely permitted to publicize that because of the fact that we have to know to stay away. Don't learn from that person. Don't learn from what he does. What he's doing is terrible. What this person is doing is a terrible thing. So you have to stay away. So in such a situation, the Chafetz Chaim says, you're allowed to say it. And it's also true where there is a toelus in the Lashon Hara, right? This is a toelus, a spiritual toelus. It's also true in a situation of a toelus means benefit, where there is a benefit that is, let's say, a monetary, a practical benefit. If there is a person who is a dishonest businessman and he knows it and he does it anyway, he knows it's wrong and he doesn't care and he keeps doing it and he's taking people's money and doing all kinds of things that are wrong, you absolutely should publicize that because people need to know. People need to know. You have to know. Otherwise, people will continue to fall into this trap. And especially if the person appears externally like a religious guy, so then you really have to be careful because there may be a natural tendency to go to that person. But so in those situations, you're allowed to publicize the information. However, there are conditions, maybe at a different time, we'll go through all the conditions, but pretty much the biggest requirements are, in such a situation, that you have to know for a fact that it's true. That's the biggest, you can't just go on a rumor. You have to know for a fact that this is the truth, I investigated it, and I know myself that this is the case, then you can say to a person, I'm telling you this for a toelus, and so forth. There are other stipulations as well, but basically that in such a situation it would be permitted to say over something in public, and if needed it could even be put into a newspaper, okay? It could be put into a newspaper, and thus if sometimes a person would come across such a thing where they publicized the scam that was going on, so the newspaper would have the heter to publish it. They have the right to publish it because this is beneficial information. However, there is one qualification left even in such a situation, and that is that when a person hears Lashon Hara that someone else says to him, even for his benefit, so the halacha is that you can concern yourself with what the person said, but you cannot believe it is absolute truth. In other words, and this is found source number 6, that the Chafetz Chaim writes here, he says that in Yotza HaKol Echad Shehasa Maiso Dibur Davar Shelo Karai Al Pi HaTorah, a person did something wrong, Bein Shu Isser Chomer, Bein Shu Isser Kal, Afilu Hachi Osu Kablo Hamino B'Hachlota. You cannot believe it as the absolute truth. But rather, you can concern yourself with it. So if somebody comes over to you, if you're about to enter into a business deal, and someone comes over to you and whispers into your ear, you know, I know this guy for many years, he's dishonest. You can't trust him, he's dishonest. So it could, and I know myself, I know him for a long time, I've seen it, he's a dishonest person, stay away from him. So in a situation like that, you are allowed to stay away. You're allowed to say, well, okay, I'm not going into this deal because I was just told Lashon Hara that it may be Lashon Hara, but on the other hand, it's beneficial for me to know. But I'm allowed to concern myself. I'm allowed to refrain from the deal with the understanding that it may be true. It may, I don't know. I don't know if it's true. I'm certainly not accepting it as the absolute truth. That a person cannot do, unless you know yourself. You cannot accept it as the absolute truth. You can only concern yourself with it. So therefore, what comes out, according to, put all this together, if a person, if there's a scandal going on, it's written up in the local newspaper, it's written up in Miami Herald or the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, as any such paper, and it's about a religious Jew, if you read it, you can't, you, first of all, it's questionable if you could read it, this is the question, if you could read it, if it doesn't pertain to you, if it's just Jewish Lashon Hara, if it's something that happened in a different Jewish community, some guy was caught doing all kinds of terrible things, that has no bearing on me whatsoever. So there is no toelis, there is no benefit for me to know this information. So it's questionable whether you could read it, but there is no question whatsoever that you probably should not read it. But that doesn't, there are those that say that, you know, some personal statement, I should never read a newspaper at all. Okay, that may not be the case. But whatever the case may be, whatever the case may be, you cannot believe it. You're not allowed to believe it as fact. And you can't go, and you certainly can't go around repeating it. And this can't be the discussion at the Shabbos table, or the Yontif table, or any other table, or in shul, or who knows where. This cannot be the discussion that's taking place. Oh, did you hear what happened to this guy? Because that is Lashon Hara, there is no benefit. And you can't accept, you can't even accept it as the truth. So if you don't believe it's true yourself, why are you repeating it to somebody else? The best you could say, the best you could say in such a situation is that if it pertains to me, I can concern myself that it may be true, and therefore stay away. But if it's not, if it's totally out of my domain, if you're reading about some terrible thing that happened in Eretz Yisrael amongst the Jewish community, the religious community, so that's Mamash Lashon Hara. What benefit is there to know that? There's no benefit to know that. So to go ahead and say, well, I read it. Alright, so maybe you shouldn't have read it in the first place. But if you read it, you really have to work on yourself not to believe it. Yeah, it's not easy. Very, very difficult once you read something in the newspaper not to believe it's true. So this is, in a nutshell, the person reading the paper, you can't just simply say that if it's printed in the newspaper, it's public discussion. That is not true according to anybody. Even the Rambam, who is the closest to permitting such a type of thing, says that it's only permitted if you happen to have said it in passing, you weren't over this for Lashon Hara. But if you went ahead with malicious intent, meaning that this is a good discussion, this good table discussion, to talk negatively about somebody, that's not right. That you can't do. So this is something that a person reading the paper has to be concerned about. And furthermore, the publisher of the newspaper has to be very careful to take into consideration what he's writing, if he knows for a fact that it's true, and if there is a benefit for people to find it out. Sometimes there is. Sometimes it's the correct thing to publish in a newspaper, because it needs to be publicized. Otherwise, people are going to be harmed. But we also have to take into account that putting something in a public display, putting something in a newspaper, very often causes harm not only to the person, but causes harm to his family, and who it's not their fault. You know, the father did a terrible thing, but why should the children suffer for that? They have their own lives to lead. Why should a child not get a shidduch because the whole world found out that the father did a terrible thing? It could be that has absolutely no bearing on the child. It could be that, so you have to be very careful. As such, even the approach of Gedol Yisrael has always been that things should be put in a newspaper only as a last resort. That sometimes it is correct to publicize it, and, you know, the scandal comes out and you could be affected by it, you have to know. But the first attempt is always to try to do it quietly, to try to go over to the person. Very often we like to go ahead and we get all emotionally involved, and I'm going to go publicize it, I'm going to put it on, you know, on the neon signs, you know, on Times Square, you'll see it flashing in front of your eyes, it's a terrible thing that this person did. But that's an emotional response that's not necessarily correct. The correct thing is to try to solve it, as they say in Yiddish, still a hate, to try to do it quietly, if possible, resolve the matter. If not, then you have no choice. Then you have no choice. Then you have to publish it. But the this is something that is very delicate, sensitive matter, and people really have to take it to heart. I just end with a story that is a published story about Chafetz Chaim himself, that as he advanced in age, so he began to have difficulty with his hearing. So Rav Meir Shapiro, it is said, oh, Rav Meir Shapiro was the founder of the Daf Yomi movement. Rav Meir Shapiro was once talking to the Chafetz Chaim, he knew he had difficulty with his hearing. He said, why don't you get a hearing aid? He said, they had already at that time some hearing aids. He said, why don't you make it easier? Why do you have to struggle to hear? So the Chafetz Chaim is reported to have said, he said, I can still hear people if they speak loud. I can't hear. If a person talks in a regular voice, it's very hard for me to hear. But if they speak in a loud voice, I can hear it. He said, most likely, he said, people say Lashon Hara all the time, whether they're trying or not. He said, but if a person talks to me in regular conversational tone and says Lashon Hara, I won't hear him. The only way I would hear him is if he said it to me very loud, and it's very unlikely that a person is going to come over to me and say Lashon Hara in a very loud tone. So therefore, I'm much better off the way I am. So, alright, this is not something for everyone, but nevertheless, it speaks to the severity and the importance of being concerned about Lashon Hara.